Hi, I'm Patrick Delahanty, the creator and founder of AnimeCons.com and FanCons.com. I'm here at Otakuthon 2015, and I did a panel here on starting and running anime conventions. And so I'm going to share that with you as a two-part series, because it was a full 50-ish minute panel, and so we'll split that in two. So this is part one, and check out part two coming later on in the same podcast feed.
Hi, welcome to Starting and Running Conventions. First off, I'd like to apologize that I... That's better. I learned French in high school, and that was a long time ago, so I've forgotten most of it. And I live in California, so I haven't had a chance to keep up on it. So this panel will be in English, so I apologize for that. Anyway, starting and running conventions, my name is Patrick Delahanty. I am the creator of AnimeCons.com and FanCons.com. I attended, I think this is my 142nd or 143rd, I forgot if I counted this one or not. I've attended a lot of conventions. I'm the founder of Anime Boston. That's better. I'm the founder of Anime Boston and Providence Anime Conference, one you might have heard of, the other you probably haven't heard of, and I'll explain some of it later. And I've staffed five different conventions, including this. So in this presentation, I'm going to talk about why you might want to start a convention, research you'll need to do, how to start up, planning it, promoting it, common mistakes people make, and then I have some conventions, I have some convention statistics to share. So why start a new convention? You're probably thinking, oh, this will be great. I'm going to have this new thing come to town. It's going to be a huge success. Well, you might want to start with because you have way too much free time, because you need it, because it's going to use all of your free time. You're not going to have a personal life anymore. Everything's going to be dedicated to this convention. It's going to be a success. Can't get enough stress in your life because, running a convention is a very stressful experience. You've got to make sure that everything happens and it happens well. And enjoy answering the same questions over and over because there's not just one person who asks what time does the convention open, how much is registration. Everybody asks that. And love having people complain about everything you do. Every event will have people complaining about it in some way. At one of our Anime Bostons, we had somebody complaining that they didn't like the color of the floor of the convention center. Not that we could do anything about it, but people complain about stuff. So why you shouldn't start a new con? It won't make you rich or famous. It certainly won't make you rich. Conventions don't bring in a lot of money. It may seem like, oh, there's all these people, they're all paying, but the money goes right back into the event. And famous, more like infamous if you run a bad convention, like the people who ran DashCon. I don't know if you've heard about that one, but it had a ball pit, and it was a huge disaster. And yeah, you don't want to be like that. If you run a good convention, probably nobody knows who you are. They're very expensive, like I said. And good help is hard to find. You can't do it alone. You're going to need other people to help you. And finding those people is difficult, and I'll go into this more later. There's already a convention within driving distance of every major U.S. and Canadian city. There's a lot of conventions out there, and I've got some statistics later on in this that show the growth of conventions, and now every city with over 1 million people has a convention. So, and there's at least one con every weekend in the US or Canada. So most of these weekends have multiple, even Christmas weekend. You'd think, oh, well, who's gonna put a convention on? No, people do, and because it's the only one that doesn't have one. So every weekend has a convention. It's multiple, it's crazy. But there There's also reason, I'm going into a lot of reasons not to start a convention because this is important. You shouldn't start a convention. But I'll go into the reasons if you decide you want to, what to do. But there's wrong reasons to start a con, and you don't want to, you want to make sure you're not one of these, where there's no cons in my 30-person town. Well, I've seen a lot of people that have big aspirations, like, oh, I'm going to have the next Anime Expo, the next Anime North in my town has 30,000 people. That's, no, you're not going to have a convention that's that big in a town that small. You could have one in a town with 30,000 people, but you're probably going to get at most 100, if you're lucky. There's only one con in my town. Well, that means you're probably starting it because you don't like that convention, and that's what we call a spite con, and that's not a good reason to start one. I can't get to large nearby convention. I've seen several that have started, usually started by the mother of a kid that couldn't get to Otakon or some other large convention. There's one in Philly that started and lasted 1 year because it was a huge failure, where her daughter couldn't get to Otakon, so they decided to start their own convention and invited all these guests, then realized they couldn't pay for it, and yeah. I want to meet Vic Mignogna. So you want to start a convention just to meet this one person. There's more affordable ways to do that. You can fly to any convention at anywhere in the world. It would be cheaper than starting your own. Fandom is popular, so FandomCon will be huge. Also a ball pit. This goes back to DashCon. They thought, oh, Tumblr's popular, so this will just automatically be huge. It takes a lot of effort and promotion and a lot of work to make a convention a success. So you can't just assume, oh, My Little Pony is the big thing, I'm going to start a new one and that'll be great. It might be, but it's not an automatic success just because you have a popular topic. You have to work at it. And there's a con near me, but it sucks. That's what we call a spite convention. You're starting one just because you don't like the other convention. That's really not a good reason to start a con. Greg Ayers, voice actor, says, if you don't like something about a convention, before you start complaining, campaigning, threatening people, changing the guest lineup, or anything like that, try volunteering instead. And what he means is, if you don't like how a convention's run, join the convention, start staffing it, and help out and make it a better event. So you've decided to start a convention. You must be crazy. But before you commit anything, before you sign anything, do your research. Make sure you visit existing conventions and just get a sense for how the convention feel. See how they operate, take note of what works, what can be improved, and visit conventions outside your geographic area. I've noticed that conventions within a geographic area tend to have the same issues, but a lot of the same successes. But if you go to a different area, you can see what works well out there and maybe be able to take those techniques and bring them and introduce them into your area. Help out as a gopher or volunteer, because this will give you a better look at the inside of the convention, how it works, and you meet other people with con experience who can be interested in helping you start your own convention, because you're going to need a lot of people. And if you volunteer, you may get perks like t-shirt, free admission, food, crash space. You get to meet guests, maybe. You get to work with cool people. So there's perks to volunteering on its own, even if you don't want to start a convention. And so additional research, you could move from volunteering to staffing. And when you get to staff, you get to have that experience of actually running the convention. And if you're going to start one, you need that sort of experience. You'll get to see more of the inner workings. The volunteer, you might just be checking badges at the door, maybe you have to help with escorting or something. But this, you get to actually see all the discussions and the planning that goes into running the convention. And you'll see a lot of the things that you might not have even thought of, that running your own convention, you kind of need to know. You get to see a lot of the planning and preparation, and you also meet a lot more people who have experience and may be willing to join you. Even if they don't leave that current convention, you don't want to poach all their people, but people can staff more than one convention. At one point, I staffed 3 at one time, and that was crazy, so I'm not doing that again. And then you can use the staffing experience to decide if this is something you really want to do, if it is, because it's going to be at least 10 times more intense when you're starting one. And so if you can't handle just regular staffing, probably don't want to start a convention. And before you start a convention, talk with other convention organizers. You want to get a feel for, you know, the climate, especially in your area, and see any problems they may have, and also collaborate, because there's getting to be more of a sort of feel of collaboration between conventions and not so much competition, because everybody can work together to build the audience and get more people interested. And if you are competing, then really nobody wins. So you're starting up the convention. Iron Man has the Avengers. Superman has the Justice League and the Super Friends and the Superpowers team. You need a core staff. You can't do this alone. As much as you may want to and be the king and be the most important, you need a core group of people, 5 to 10 people who can help you get this off the ground and will help be the fellow leadership for the convention. So before you sign any contracts, pick a date, choose a location, or decide a name, get these group of people. They're the ones who will tell you, no, this is a stupid idea, whether it's having a convention as a whole or just the name of the convention or looking at the contracts, get more people involved, because you don't want to sign something and then realize, oh, I wish somebody had told me that there was this clause in here that I didn't notice, or could be any number of things, but you need other people to look at this. So staffing, there's certain traits for people that you want to find. You need them to be trustworthy, reliable, experienced, and wealthy, because you're going to start the convention, and wherever you start it, they're probably going to want a deposit for facilities, you're going to need to pay for a website, promotion, and a lot of stuff before any money starts coming in. So it takes some money to start a convention. There are cheaper ways to do this if you choose a cheaper venue or work at a school, but you also need trustworthy, because you're going to be dealing with money and contracts, reliable, because if you ask them to get stuff done, you want it to get done, and experience helps too. And delegate the responsibility. I've seen some conventions that will fail because the chair wants to do everything himself, but you need to assign it out so that you're not overwhelmed. The other people want to help, so let them do stuff. Based on their experience and ability, you may be able to determine who's best at what job. And I have delegated responsibility again for some reason. Schedule some planning meetings. So get together and start organizing. Actually schedule these so that you know you're not pushing it off. You say, okay, it's Thursday, 5 o'clock, we're all meeting, we're talking about this. And work online, so you can use Google Hangouts or just make your own private Facebook group, but a place to discuss things when you all can't meet, and ensure that stuff is getting done when you're not in person. The essential staff you might need to start this: a lawyer, because there's contracts and you will need to sign things, and you want to make sure that you're not signing your life away. You may want to form a company, and that all takes lawyer experience. And so hopefully you can find somebody that will be on staff and willing to do this cheap or free. If you can't, then you have to hire a lawyer, which again takes money. A negotiator, you're going to have to talk to the venue, so you need somebody that can get you a good deal on rates. Maybe you know a friend that got a really great deal in their last car. That might be a good person to talk to the hotel and try to talk them down on their price. Or give, if they can't change their price, maybe they'll give you more stuff, like some food and beverage. An accountant or treasurer, you're going to be pulling in money, so you need somebody that loves money and isn't going to take it from you. It needs to be the most trustworthy person in the organization. And so somebody who, if they're an accountant in real life, perfect. But you will need somebody to keep track of that. And a clerk or secretary to keep notes on everything you've done. So if somebody misses a meeting, or you need to go back and look at the notes in the future and see, what did we decide on this? Somebody to just keep a record. And a web guru, because you'll need a website and social media, so somebody should be put in charge of that. Whether it's you or, you know, it could be somebody, maybe it's the secretary, he has a lot of web experience, that'd be great. So now you've got your core staff, and you've decided you're really going to do this, so it's time to start picking a venue. Probably have a few places in mind. Might be too big. Like, your first year, don't pick a convention center. Unless you've already established yourself somewhere with a large following, you don't want to start in a convention center. Like PAX, the Penny Arcade Expo, they can start a convention center because they're very well established. But, you know, YadaCon, just starting up? No. That's a good place to start is a school or university. If you have an anime club at your school, it's free. Sometimes the school sets limits. You may have to do it between certain hours. Maybe you can only do it certain days or use certain buildings. But it's free, so that's good. And also, the downside is there's no hotel rooms, so out-of-town attendees may not be willing to come in if they don't have a place to stay. Hotel is the most popular option. It's everything in one. You get a place to stay, and you've got facilities to hold your event, but it costs money. It costs a lot of money. Hopefully, you can get some sort of deal with the hotel where if you book a lot of rooms, the facility rental rate goes down. Not all hotels will do that. It also depends on how well the hotel is doing in the city, in the time of year, because if they're doing a really good business, like if it's wedding season, they're booking up their events, they might not want to give you a deal. But if it's in the winter and nobody wants to hold an event that weekend, they may be willing to give you a great deal just to get people in. And they're big enough for all but the largest conventions. When you get a couple thousand people, depending on the hotel, you may start exceeding the space. Then you have to move to a convention center like this. Hugely expensive, like six digits contract expensive at least. And if you book a lot of hotel rooms, doesn't matter, it still costs the same. And you have lots of space though, so you can finally fit a ton of people. But hotels aren't included, so you still, if you want hotel rates with any hotels to try to attract people in, you've got to talk with them, and hopefully they'll give you a good rate. And also, hopefully, they don't sell it cheaper later on. Because I've noticed that with some hotels, they say, oh, here's your convention rate. And then you go on the hotel's website, it's even cheaper. Which, thanks. Now it's time for the paperwork. Get that lawyer. Because you've got contracts that you've got to do. The facility contract, you're ready to sign that. An AV contract for
the audiovisual equipment.
And any other contracts. You've also got to draft some contracts for the dealer's room and your artist alley. Maybe you want guest contracts. And if you're going to incorporate or become a nonprofit, lawyer. You need the lawyer. Get a mailbox. You don't want people mailing things to your home address because they may show up at your home address. If you're going to do, most people now will just online registration. But if you want a mail-in option, you can use the mailbox for that as well. And sign up for the business bank account so that you can keep your convention's money separate from your own personal money. Because if something goes wrong, you don't want your own personal account to dry up as well. Register your domain name before you even announce the name of the convention. Make sure you get that domain name. Because the minute you announce, somebody's going to grab it. Hire an accountant, because all that money, somebody's going to manage it. Taxes are a pain. And so get somebody to manage that. Hopefully there's somebody on staff, otherwise you're going to have to pay for it. And if you're a nonprofit, it's complicated, so, but there's still taxes involved. And picking the date. You want to consider the time of year. Do you want it in the winter where there could potentially be a huge snowstorm? Maybe there's holidays you could pick, you could get a better deal. Like Christmas, probably not a great date to have a convention. Actually, all of December. A lot of people get in the holiday mood and they're not really going to conventions. So December's kind of, but some people like holiday themed conventions. And whether you want it an Easter weekend or, you know, maybe you want a New Year's Eve convention. You can see what rates the hotel will give you. When are the other conventions in the area? Obviously you don't want a convention on the same weekend as another convention in the same city because nobody will come, especially if that other convention is very established. And you probably want to avoid, if it's large enough, avoid like the whole month before and after. And I've seen some spike conventions start up and they just schedule themselves the week before the convention that they hate. And it doesn't work for them because nobody goes to that. They're like, oh, well, this convention's the next week. I know that convention. I'm going to go there. What other cons have announced the dates you want? Even if they're not near you, it may cause an issue with getting guests or vendors. If you're in, say you're in Vancouver and you want the same dates as Anime North, they're far away, but maybe the vendors can't come to you that weekend, or you want some guests, but they're all at Anime North, they're all at Otakucon. So competing against a large convention on the same weekend, probably not a good idea. And most important, don't announce the dates until after you've signed the contract. When you have the dates, you want them to be in stone, because people will start to plan to come to your event, and you don't want to have to tell them later, oh, we moved to the weekend after. Some people may not notice that the dates have changed. And if you've started planning, you want the dates set in stone before anything is announced. And so the point of no return is you've got all the staff, you've got your website set up with about this convention. You want to tell people when they go to the site, this is an anime convention, this is a furry convention, this is an anime and furry convention. Let people know exactly what kind of convention this is. There's a lot of cons out there that'll have on their website just, hey, we're Yadacon, come. And they don't say exactly what they're covering. Are they anime or anime and cartoons? Some people just say, oh, pop culture, which is kind of a catch-all, but you know, sci-fi, is that in that? Or like steampunk, are you kidding? So be pretty clear, like, we're this. Put the dates on your website, and I say that because in maintaining animecons.com, I go to every convention's website. Some of them forget to list their dates, and you have to go find their Facebook page, or dig deep within their content to find, oh, here's the dates. You want the dates up at the top on every page. And the same with the location. You want to tell people, where are these dates in this tab. Pre-registration, you want that all ready to go, because as soon as people find out about your convention, you want to grab them. You want them to be able to register right then. If you put up a page that says, coming soon, hopefully they'll come back and register, but you don't want to pass up that chance. They've found your website. Let them give you money. Programming information, just give them a general sense. Oh, we're going to have a costume contest. We're going to have panels and video rooms. Just give people a sense of what's going on. How to join staff, because you'll need more staff. And you want to kind of give them a way to join your organization. And contact information, so when people have questions, they know where to send them. Hopefully, they'll send them, if they're personal, they'll send them through email and not post them on Facebook for everyone to see. And also, you want to link to any social media you have Because if you can get these people following you on Twitter and Facebook, Tumblr, and anything else you have, your Pinterest page or Instagram, you want them to follow you, because every time you post there, it's a reminder, hey, our convention, don't forget about it. And even if you're just posting a silly picture, then we're going, oh, yeah, that's that YannaCon, I gotta go to that.
Thanks for watching part one of my panel on starting and running anime conventions, and look for part two coming up soon.